Yesterday. Did anyone get some sleep before midnight today? Last night? So yesterday we celebrated the 4th of July, a.k.a. Independence Day. And you know, the funny thing is, when I started to write the message, I don't look at the calendar. I'm really bad at lining up my messages with the calendar. But this time, the Ruach did it for me. He impressed upon me what I was supposed to speak about, and now I see why. It's the calendar. So I'm going to be speaking about independence today. Now, as a country, we celebrated Independence Day as a way of celebrating and taking pride in the fact that we accepted and adopted the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. Which made the 13 colonies independent from England. We separated ourselves not only so that we could make our own rules and laws, but so that we are no longer dependent on England for our protection, for our ways of life. We were to be self-governing from then on and refuse to look up to the king or to give him honor as leading over us. It obviously had some long-lasting ramifications as a country, and I hope that the independence of the country continues until the return of Messiah. But we also see a streak of independence within the people of the country. People like to think of themselves as being independent from anything. Some even go as far as to fight for more independence than the country gives them. Although I would say that I believe that with this feeling of independence, there is for some a desire to make others independent, others dependent on them, because they think they know better. They know what's good for them. They want their independence, but they don't want others to be independent thinkers. We see often that both sides of an argument would say, you can think anything you want as long as you think the same way I do. We see this in politics all the time. It's the reason it's so hard to get anything passed through Congress to get a signature by the president on it. However, today's not a day that I want to be political. I never really want to be political. It happens occasionally. I do want us to think about what it means to be independent and dependent on and under Adonai. It's always a good idea to clarify word meanings when using terms that we think everyone is on the same page with us, because that's not always the case. So let's define dependence and independence, rather than just thinking, yeah, they're the opposite of each other. So dependence, according to dictionary.com, is the state of relying on or needing someone or something for aid, support, or the like. Dictionary.com also defines independence as the freedom from the control, influence, support, aid, or the like of others. Many would think that the difference between the two, as dependence is saying that you need somebody or something for help, but independence is that defiant stance that you don't need or want anything or anyone's help. The reality is a dependence could be on a thing, like glasses, to see clearly, or a walker to keep you from falling down. There are those that don't want to be dependent on them, though, and they're willing to place themselves in danger by not using them. They think, I've always been independent from them, or they think it makes them look weak, and they refuse to be dependent on anything but their own strength. Just as there are some who want to not be dependent on anything because they believe it shows weakness, they also don't want to be dependent on God for anything either. They believe that they are doing just fine in their lives up to that point, and they don't need help from your God. Now, I remember when I was in college, I thought very similar to this. I remember saying to more than just a couple of people that organized religion was just a crutch for those who couldn't live life on their own. I now realize that the limitations that I placed on the true God of the universe were actually limiting my ability to grow and succeed through Him. People often think that it's the poor and the visions need provisions. We also know that it's the poor in spirit or the unbelievers who are the ones that actually need to be dependent upon Adonai. But they don't actually even realize what the need is that they have. Revelation tells us about those who don't know what state they're actually in. This is what we're told. This is what he said to the congregation of Laodicea in Revelation 3. Starting in 17 of Revelation 3. For you say, I am rich, I've made myself wealthy, and I need nothing. But you do not know that you are miserable and pitiful and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white clothes so that you may be dressed, so that you may dress yourself, and so the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and the eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. They believed they were independent, but that they did not really have what counts, which only comes from the dependence and trust in Adonai through Yeshua. They would rather trust in what they are and can see on it with their own eyes, based on their own strength. But there's a problem there, and we're told what the problem is in Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17:5 says this, "Thus says Adonai, cursed is the one who trusts in man and depends on flesh as his arm and whose heart turns from Adonai." This speaks to an independence that comes from a misplaced trust in self-strength and of the human system that leads people away from God. They think that the thing that they can build up on their own strength is good enough, at least for now, because they don't have the ability to see into the future. We're told about what they build in Psalm 127. It's just the first verse. It's a song of ascent of Solomon. Unless Adonai builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless Adonai watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. They try to build. They think they have a plan to create on their own. But the one who knows everything better than anyone tells us that the plan is in vain. And what is being built will not last when they depend upon it. Most men have a very limited view of what the completeness of time is. They believe that their lifetime is all that there is. They look at the pyramids and think they've stood the test of time. The truth is that the time that the pyramids have stood is nothing compared to what will either be in the, when we're either going to be in the presence of Adonai or out of his presence and in hell for all time. We are called to be dependent on Adonai, to trust him. Because during this life and the decisions that we make during this life will ensure us protection for all time or ensure that we will be unprotected for all time. Listen to what it says in Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verses 10 and 11. Adonai is a stronghold for the oppressed, a high tower in time of trouble. Those who know your name trust you, for you, Adonai, never have forsaken those who seek you. Today, few people want to think of themselves as opposed. So they will just ignore what is really out there and what's happening around them. They trust their physical eyes, but refuse the idea that there is a spiritual realm that they're unable to see or understand. The time that we actually will need that strong tower may feel like now, but actually, it's not just this lifetime that we need that strong tower. I believe the time that we really need that strong tower is going to be at the end of the age. The issue is that there are so many people who cannot imagine the need for anything at the end of the age. They think that the troubles of today are the only and the greatest trouble they'll ever see. Look at Psalm 34. It happens to be probably my favorite psalm. Psalm 34:7 says this: The poor man cried, and Adonai heard and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of Adonai encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. The next verse I didn't put here is actually the verse I got in my dream when I was saved. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. People will refuse to think of themselves as poor. So they refuse Adonai's help to get out of the trouble that they also refuse to acknowledge. They refuse to acknowledge the possibility of Satan, or that there will be a time that they will be assigned to a place with him due to their poor decision-making now. Instead, like the congregation of Laodicea, they refuse to look at what is actually around them and the true state that they're in. So how do we live independently while still being dependent on him? We have to keep our eyes on Adonai. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now the word for help there is azer, which is often translated as help. But one source says that it's not just help, it's succor, or help in time of hardship or distress. So it's not just a helping hand, but actually a saving hand. It's a saving help that we get from him. The help that saves a life when times are hard. And of course, the scale for what's hard moves depending on what we're going through and the stage of life that we're in. What once we thought of as hard, we can look back and it wasn't that hard. But the help that comes from Adonai is not really like help with the laundry because I'm tired, But it's a life-saving help. Sometimes, even when we don't realize that we're in need of it. The world does not understand the consequences that they're facing. Even when they do turn to Adonai, it's only after they come to Adonai that they fully understand what they were saved from, the eternity they were saved from. We think that we know what we need to live on, but our definition of life is not the same as Adonai's. I believe that this is the thinking behind the verse from Deuteronomy that Yeshua repeated to Satan during his trial in the desert. So Deuteronomy 8:1. You are to take care to do the whole mitzvah that I am commanding you today, so that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that Adonai swore to your fathers. You are to remember all the ways that Adonai your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his mitzvot or not. He afflicted you and let you hunger. Then he fed you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, in order to make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Adonai. Adonai was saying to the Israelites that they needed more than the bread that went into their mouth, but also the mitzvot, the words and instructions of Adonai to live not only for as long as the bread can sustain you, but for eternity, which the mitzvot will help you keep up. Yeshua in the Gospel of John wants to ensure that we understand that even he follows the mitzvot of Adonai when he says this in John 5. Therefore, Yeshua answered them, "Amen, amen, I tell you, the Son cannot do anything by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise." Yeshua shows us the example that independence is found through a dependence on Adonai. He does nothing that he does not see the Father do, because there is nothing that can be done without the Father's allowing or doing through the Ruach. Where does Yeshua's help come from? The same place that our help comes from, the Father who created all things. It is He who wants to help, but needs us to make the decision to allow Him to. Yeshua doesn't just say to depend on Adonai, but to place Him above all else that we look for and depend upon. Look what it says in Matthew 6, starting in 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the pagans eagerly pursue all these things. Yet your Father in heaven knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Don't worry about this or that or where it's going to come from. Don't look this way or that way, but look to God, and he will make sure that the things that you need are supplied. The things of this world, yes, but his concern for you is not just for this world, but for the eternity that's to come. The world that is to come. This is why we are to wait for him and him alone. Psalm 62:1. So it's for the music director, Anjanuthan, a psalm of David. My soul, wait in stillness only for God. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I will never be moved. We are told that we are to wait for Adonai, to depend on Adonai for our salvation. He sends the blood. He sent the blood of Yeshua for our salvation. And we are to wait and not be moved to the right or to the left. That it can only come from him. We're not able as men to do many things, but we are not to depend on them. As many things as we can do, don't depend on them. Remember what Yeshua later warns in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 24. Then Yeshua said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow after me, he must deny himself. Take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Yeshua says, don't depend on yourself or what you can do yourself. Even if it looks like you've got the whole world, it will not profit you for eternity. Don't depend on you, but depend on the one who was sent so that you can depend on him. The reason that Yeshua was sent by Adonai is so that we can depend on his blood for our salvation for eternity with him. This is the word that we were given at the very start of the book of Psalms, Psalm 1:1. Happy is the one who has not walked in the advice of the wicked, nor stood in the way of the sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the Torah of Adonai, and on his Torah he meditates day and night. He will be like a planted tree over streams of water, producing its fruit during the season. Its leaf never droops, nor in all he does, but in all he does he succeeds. When we are dependent on ourselves or think that we're independent, we're actually walking in the ways of the world. We may not realize the advice that we take is coming from the world, but if it comes from anyone other than Adonai or through Adonai's word, it's wicked, meaning opposed to Adonai. Instead, we are to accept and think on the instructions of Adonai. This is the way to gain eternity, even as the world would have a different false way. By following Adonai's words, we will be producing fruit when we should, and our leaves will never droop. Following his words will result in a time that we will never droop, that we will not be without strength. But to have that eternity, we must be dependent on the help, on his help, all the time. For those who think that they are truly independent, they're actually dependent on someone to guarantee their independence. If anyone thinks that they need no one to be free, then they're fighting all the time and they have no peace. No guarantee that someone else won't come and take their stuff or take their lives. We choose who we are dependent upon to guarantee our independence. In fact, it's the only place independence comes from, the dependence upon the one who created all things. Even when we depend on the government, we're depending on the ones that Adonai put in place. dependence on any man, including yourself, is calling down a curse upon yourself. That's what we're told in Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, 5. For thus says Adonai, cursed is the one who trusts in man and depends on flesh as his arm, and whose heart turns from Adonai. For he will be like a bush in the desert. He cannot see goodness when it comes, but will dwell in parched places, in the wilderness, a salt land where no one lives. Men call down a curse on themselves when they trust in men, even themselves. It is that self-dependence, or some would call it independence, that will remove you from the protection and provisions that come from Adonai. Independent people want to think that they can provide for themselves, and maybe they can for a little while. Even for their whole life, maybe they can. But that's not the fullness of time for your soul. Yeshua tells the independent person what they have to do for an eternal life of freedom and comfort. John 6:53. So Yeshua said to them, amen, amen, I tell you, unless you eat flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father, I got distracted, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who eats of me will also live because of me. It is only when people partake in the body and blood of Yeshua that there is eternal life. This isn't to say that those who refuse Yeshua don't have an eternal life. They have an eternal life, but it's outside his presence. It's an eternal life of hardship and pain. He gave us the ability to choose which freedom we will have. Because there are two freedoms. The first is one that they do on their own, one of independence, that they do what they believe will be their own way, but actually is the way of Satan's. For all the ways of men are not aligned with Adonai will cause them alignment with Satan. The second freedom is the one that comes with the dependence on Adonai. Shaul reminds us of this in Romans 6. Romans 6, 16. Do you not know that to whatever you yield yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to what you obey? Whether to sin resulting in death or to obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching under which you were placed. And after you were set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. You could be slave to the things that you thought you chose by your independence. Or you can be free by the choice to be enslaved to righteousness, which is the Torah, the instructions of the Lord. By following Torah, we become a part of a body that we are not to separate ourselves from. We become a part of it because we are one with it. And by becoming one in the body, we become dependent upon each other as well. The hand would have no power if it was not for the mouth that takes in the food and the stomach that digests it. We are dependent on each other to live out the life of Adonai that he wants us to have. Sometimes it seems that the feet cannot help with digesting the food that goes into the stomach, but it can assist in bringing us to the medicine chest for the antacids. We are not all expected to do the same thing within the congregation, but we are all expected to be dependent upon each other and to carry our own weight, to help each other. Adonai, through Scripture, calls us to be independently dependent. We are to be free from the world while being a bond servant to God. We are to make our own decisions, but to do this, we have to first make the right decision to give up our freedom from sin in the world. We live free by living free through the Ruach, by following Torah, his instructions on how those he created are to live. The confusion that people have is they want to be independent, but they weren't made by Adonai to be independent from him, but to be dependent on him by being independent from the world. Father, we just thank you that you've given us a freedom to choose freedom that comes when we're dependent upon you. Ruach, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to what you would have told us and what you are constantly telling us through your word, through the reading of your word, through your Ruach, through the meditation of your word and the meanings that come through you. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your freedom. Yes, even now, during this time of independence for our country, we thank you for our independence from sin. And we thank you for our dependence upon you. For you are our all in all. And there will never be another like you. And everyone said, amen and amen.